Learning by Proxy with Vivek Srinivasan.
Hi everyone, this week we're going to be talking with Rashmi Vettel, who is currently engaged as the Chief Customer Officer at EV, which is a company that has the mission of enabling behavior change for climate action. Rashmi started her career in engineering working with companies such as Tata Elxsi and Novell, and from there she has moved into the area of sustainability. In between, she had her skirmish with entrepreneurship, and for several years she ran a business called Little Green Kids that was focused on producing clothes out of organic cotton. She also has had an experience of working with Intelligent Energies, where she worked on hydrogen fuel cells, which is also something that is related to sustainability. So welcome, Rashmi. Thank you for making the time and being here with us.
Thank you, Vivek. Thank you very much for having me here. And I'll be very honored to answer your questions, because I love talking about sustainability. But today we'll probably focus on my journey, and thank you for inviting me for that.
So what got you involved with sustainability? How did your journey with sustainability begin, given that, you know, your education, your initial career was focused on engineering?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And more than what, I would say who got me started, it was Al Gore, the vice president at that time of the United States. What happened is he won the Nobel Prize in the year 2007 for his movie, The Inconvenient Truth. And I had just watched it a few months before he got the Nobel Prize. And it had gotten me thinking that this is much, much bigger problem. And how are people going to solve it? And me being an engineer who loves solving problems, you know, so I was in the space where we used to think that solving the server problem of making it go faster by a few nanoseconds is the biggest complex problem you can solve. But then I looked at this magnanimity of what Al Gore was talking about and how messed up the planet is and it's going to be. And I was like, who's solving it? Who? And that kind of got into my head. And, you know, I kept reading. And eventually, 2008, I moved out of engineering and decided to pursue. At that time, it was not called sustainability. It was more like eco-friendliness. Or, you know, I was thinking, how will I create a company that has a bigger impact? And I wanted to take the entrepreneurship route. And I decided to do an MBA with absolutely no knowledge of business. Nobody in my family had ever done business. But I thought, if I didn't do it, then I would never get out of my comfort zone and try it out. And so I took the plunge, and that's how it started.
Yeah, I mean, so you started this venture of yours, which was focused on organic cotton. Understandably, you wanted to promote sustainably grown cotton rather than the way it is otherwise done. What were your thoughts at that point? You know, what kind of impact were you looking to create with your venture at the time?
Again, I'm really glad you caught up on that, that the purpose was to increase the consumption of organic cotton. My purpose was not to build a brand initially. I was not from the fashion industry. I didn't know how that whole thing worked. And actually, sometimes ignorance is bliss, because you're very hopeful that you can change things, right? What I was trying to see was, how do I build a transparent supply chain so that at the end, there's a product that the consumer can trust and buy? So that was the goal. And I was trying to harness the power of the consumer to make the change. And one of the things I was very, very clear about is never to be preachy. I did not want to preach to everybody saying, this is the best thing on the planet, this will save our lives. None of that. I just wanted to focus. And this, again, comes from my product background, from my engineering background, that you build the best product there is, and then people will come and people will use it and let people talk about it. And so I really focused, and testimony to that is I really focused on building a very, very high quality, very good clothing for kids. And everybody told me, in India, nobody will pay. This is too high priced, or, you know, people are not interested in children, they outgrow. But contrary to that, people did love high quality clothing. Not only that, I remember, like, a few months after our launch, we were accidentally featured in an ad by an insurance company where they were selling an insurance product where the mother is browsing the screen, and the screenshot was of Little Green Kid. You know, and one of our customers got back to us. So obviously we were really able to stand out. And that was the whole idea. So my North Star metric for the company was, how many acres of cotton can we convert to organic cotton per month? It was not revenue. It was not sales. And everything flew from that North metric, saying that if you want to convert this, what do we need to know? How do we need to operate? How do we need to conserve cash? How do we need to be smart? Like, we had zero budget marketing. We also got very creative. Yeah, I can talk about it all day and all night, but... because it's been my baby. But yeah, so that was the purpose. And the reason I got into it, I'll just take a moment to mention that the reason I got into it is organic cotton is a beautiful solution for a very complex problem in the background, which is soil pollution, water pollution, and the labor problem that we have. I personally spent 18 months traveling across India with my own eyes to see how the contamination of water and soil have happened. I visited farms, I visited rivers, I visited places where they do the dyeing. I know what happens. Why don't I ask them questions? Why don't they purify that water in spite of regulations being there? I spoke to women who work in these garment factories. I would actually wait outside. I would speak to the owners and then I would wait outside the garment factory when they all leave just to talk to them how they're really treated. So I wanted to understand all of this. So I realized the best solution is for the consumer to consume a better product, which will eventually change the supply chain.
That is really interesting. The whole system is built in such a way that, you know, you are fundamentally selling something that's cheaper, but not necessarily produced in the best way possible. You know, the impetus to change that also needs to come from the other side, which brings us to where you are right now. At EV, you are working with corporates. You're looking at how they can change their systems internally, how they can do things differently with their employees. You know, what does EV do?
Yeah, so at EV is a very beautiful company where we do, it's a SaaS, B2B SaaS product, where we sell it to very large corporates who have already made a climate pledge and who already have a very good sustainability strategy. The next goal for them is to engage their employees because there is a gap between the top leadership making a pledge versus everybody in the company understanding what sustainability means. And nobody wants to be, again, you know, it comes back to nobody wants boring, preachy education and all of that. But everybody wants to understand, how do I put this knowledge into my job? How do I make a difference? Everybody is willing to do that. And we make it engaging and fun. It's micro education. And, you know, on a daily basis, you engage. The thing is, when you look at an individual, the amount of change an individual can make, while it is significant, it still feels like it's not significant. It feels like, what can one person do, right? But when you put people into a community and look at the impact at the larger scale, people feel like I'm part of something, I'm making an effort and making a change. And so in a company, when people are already there, we harness that and we help large companies build programs so their employees can engage and make a big difference, move the needle. And hopefully, this will also have the domino effect of like innovation happening inside, you know, asking the right questions like, why should we purchase this? Can't we purchase that? So awareness, you know, the next steps. And we do see that as well.
So what would be some of the activations that you would suggest, or what would be some of the activities that employees would undertake in companies like this once your product is deployed with them?
That's a very good question. So first of all, it's best to be aligned with a sustainability strategy that's already defined. For example, I'll give you an example of not going to talk about a specific company, but let's say the theme of that company is water and energy, right? And data. So they have three themes there, you know. And so once you have a theme, it's best to identify what is the behavior employees can have to change. For example, it's water consumption. What kind of knowledge do they need? You know, and then we gamify the whole approach. So we do it on a monthly basis. So every month you focus on, let's say this is water theme one. And then, you know, what will you learn this time and what questions will you answer and how will you gain points? And we put teams, we put people into teams and they compete against each other for points. So, and actually seedlings, which are real seedlings planted in real forests on the planet. So that way the bar of the collective is raised, you know, in terms of knowledge and action. So let's say next is data. Data, you have so many ways to, you know, there is green ops basically on how you can improve your operations, on how you can reduce the consumption of energy, servers, all of that. And the beautiful thing is, 99% of the time, it is not EV who tells them what they should do. They already know. They already know what should be done. We're just there to help them execute it. It's like, you know, atomic habits or tiny habits. We already know where we need to go, but they don't have a system to do it. And they need a fun, engaging, entertaining system to do it. And that's where EV comes in.
You mentioned the theme of water conservation, for example. So would it be appropriate to say that once this program is rolled out, the app is rolled out, are they going to be looking at how they are consuming water on a daily basis in various activities within the organization, outside the organization? How does that play out?
For example, water is an aspect that is both in the organization and in the personal space as well, right? It's a professional person. But the idea is that to make conscious decisions, it needs to really get ingrained in your mind. So for example, if somebody says, okay, let's try shorter showers at home. Let's see how that feels. You know, that over time, you're doing it for 10 days, 15 days, you may like it, you may not like it, you may, whatever that aha moments you build up. Next, tomorrow, when you're making a big decision of putting a plant, let's say in a different country, you are going to think, okay, if I don't do the right thing on the waterfront here, when I'm building this facility, people are going to suffer and not have water enough even to drink, forget about showers, right? So while it seems it's in different spaces, eventually it's all connected. And that's how you build, you know, awareness and insight into what you should do, how you should do it.
So there is a large number of clients that you work with, large number of really large companies that you're working with. Mm-hmm. So given that, are there any trends that you're noticing? Are there issues that seem to be common between all of them that they want to pick up and work on?
Definitely. There are, I will give you the answer from two different angles. One angle, the trend that's happening is right from top to the bottom, that is from the board. Boards are being, compensated today based on ESG. You know, the compensation are being changed depending on what continent they are, which country they are. It varies, but there's a very strong push to really look at it, make that massive change, which means they themselves are trying to get educated, understand all of these. And it's one thing to read something in text saying that we should conserve water versus one thing to embed it into your thought process. Second is regulations that have come in. For example, in Europe, it is mandatory for companies which have employees more than 500 people to comply with CSRD reporting, just like financial reporting, they have to do sustainability reporting. So that also has got everybody stirred up trying to understand what to do. Then there are the other aspect that's really big is the customer demand for greener products. Not everybody is having the same amount of demand, but the demand is definitely there. Some companies are having more, some companies are having less. And with one of our customers, we have learned that the customer is not just demanding greener product, which is a little bit expensive. They want transparency as to how that extra amount that they're paying is actually being used on the ground, which is fantastic. I mean, that's the power of the consumer, right? And this is what I was trying to harness in my previous company that I was running, which is a great, what happens is the domino effect is very good because that means that it changes the company's strategy on how they prioritize things. That's one thing. The other thing that's happening is everybody's low-hanging fruit to address is the supply chain, scope 1, scope 2, scope 3 emissions. So supply chain, you know, the easier things are getting cut already. There are massive changes happening everywhere. Just in last year alone, I have noticed humongous amount of shift and, due diligence being done in these areas, which is amazing. The movement that's happening towards is that every job is a climate job. You know, that's what the phrase that it used to be just text, but you begin to see that people who are not aware of what it means are trying to get themselves educated. For example, we have a finance client. Many of them are getting themselves upskilled on ESG and finance in sustainability. It's become the trend. Everybody, they're like one of the people who I work with in that company, everybody who sits around him, he was saying, is getting a certification. They don't want to be left behind. Now, for example, the skepticals may say, oh, it's just theory. But the thing is, it's theory to begin with. And we are all intelligent people. The moment you start asking good questions, good changes are going to happen. It may take time. It may be frustrating during that time. There may be too many opinions. That's the other thing that we see. There is a bit of too many opinions happening at this point in time, and it's natural, but it's going to settle in 2-3 years. It's going to settle and more norms are going to come out of this. I think there couldn't be a better time actually to see more people get interested in this space and take action in this space. Also, frustrated about how much they can't take action. That's a good thing as well, because that leads to eventually good discussions.
Right. And also policy change, if that frustration.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So given where you are located, obviously you would have a lot of customers in Europe, but do you see any interest coming from outside of Europe? I understand also.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You have a limitation there, but beyond Europe, what is it?
Absolutely. Like? Absolutely. So we do have a tiny amount of clients in the US, and we do see also within these companies. I'll give you an example of one of our clients. They have like a sales department, which is driven out of Europe, but their colleagues sit all across the world, right? So while we are engaging their department, if you're still engaging people from all across the globe, right? It's just that the billing and the invoice goes out to the Europe office, but you know its impact is going everywhere. And some of the winners of this, actually, like we do the challenges, have been from the US and Canada and you know different countries, India. So we see a lot of heavy competitive engagement from their colleagues in India as well. Japan, we have been seeing interest from there. Singapore is doing fantastically well. They're going at a tremendous speed. So yeah, it's definitely global actually.
That it sounds really good that it's a wave that is taking on beyond a particular jurisdiction, and it's not only being driven by laws or policies that are being put in place, but it's much broader.
Yeah.
Coming back to the earlier question, in terms of trends, are there specific areas such as, let's say, water conservation, specific issues that you see repetitively within different companies that you work with?
Yes, energy is definitely on top for everybody because that's very visible. People can see that this is the energy consumption. The second, it depends on the space that the company is operating in. For example, we are industry agnostic. So for example, if it's a company where it's an engineering company, you know, doing manufacturing and all of that, then again, they're looking at energy in different ways. Energy becomes an overarching theme there. But if they're looking at, if it's a technical software company, then they're looking at energy very differently in terms of servers and doing green coding for developers, green ops and all of that. So it's even though it's the same theme, it's different flavors that I see. Also, if there is a company that's working in the food sector, then water and agricultural consumption of water, waste is another huge one that we see. Waste is, like, one of our clients is in the finance sector, but they have made a pledge of zero waste by 2030. And their initial frustration was that they couldn't even get people in the office to segregate waste. And it's not just waste at the end, but also, you know, the moment they engage somebody to help them with the waste, they start off what's coming in. What are they procuring? Like I said, initially, it's frustrating saying, oh my God, how do I figure this out? But once they start asking good questions, you can see that the data that's being collected, once they get a good hang of it, it gives them a sense of control and like, okay, let's improve this kind of an impetus.
Awesome. I mean, this is all very, very heartening to hear. And, you know, hopefully this action and this activity and your product is able to scale to many more businesses and able to bring about a lot more change. That brings me to the end of this podcast. Thank you so much, Rashmi, for taking the time to share all of your insights, share about what you guys are doing, making us a little bit more hopeful about what is to come.
Thank you very much, Vivek. It's a pleasure to speak. Like, when you're passionate about something, it's a pleasure to speak about it. So thank you very much for having me here today.